Turn with me in your Bible today to Acts, the 18th chapter. Acts, the 18th chapter. And I was going to go a different direction today, but I thought we would take just a bit of time. If you've been in church the last couple Sundays, you realize that God has done some wonderful, some unique things, moving by His Holy Spirit, blessing folks. Folks have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, born again. We just, the touch and the love of God. And I want to just see how God moves in the life of a believer, in the life of a church, and how we work with Him, both in a church setting, in a church service, but also in our individual life. Vacation Bible School kids were getting born again. The Impact, our Youth Revolution kids again, seeing visions of what God has for their life and for this church. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, God using them, anointing them for service. So in the New Testament church, and a lot of people, you know, when we pattern what we want to do, we look into what God did in the New Testament church. And one of the things that you will see is that it was a church that was directed, it was moved by, and it was consumed by the Holy Spirit. It was a Holy Spirit church. Amen? And so I want us just to look at a few instances of that. And then how do we work and flow with the Holy Spirit in our life and in our church? In Acts, the 18th chapter, we're going to look at a number of texts in Acts to begin with. In verse 5, it says, "When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testify to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ." So do you see that direction came from the Holy Spirit? He was compelled by the Spirit to do and make a ministry decision. In Acts 16 and verse 6, it says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." Now that's an interesting thing, that God stopped them from preaching. You know, most of the time He doesn't. See, Paul was commissioned to the Gentiles, and there were Gentiles in Asia. Now he eventually got to Asia, but it wasn't God's time. And see, the Holy Spirit will direct you, and He will also know the time and the season for your life and for a certain situation. Amen. So he was forbidden to preach there. Verse 7, it says, "After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them." Now, how did that happen? It really doesn't say. But more than likely, the Holy Spirit did not manifest in the form of a person with a stop sign. There was a knowing. There was a sensing. There was, as you're going, there's just a quickening on the inside. Mm-mm. This is not right. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit will always lead you into God's best, and He will always try to stop you from God's not best. All right? But here's the thing. If your life, if you have made a pattern of resisting the Holy Spirit, amen? Like if you argue with your wife a lot, amen? If you do stuff that is against the Bible, all right, you already have patterned your heart to resist the Holy Spirit. And so when you go to find out, "Lord, should I do this business? Should I do that?" Your heart's already messed up. All right. So we need to always be sensitive in all of our life to the direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because if you're about to do something that, even though it seems good, because this seemed like the right thing to do, notice they weren't committing a sin. They were going to preach. And yet the Holy Spirit stopped them. He did not permit them. Verse 8, "So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Everybody say, "to them." You see, Paul was going to preach the gospel, but God was trying to get him to them, to the right thing. Maybe God has called you to do a business, and you're thinking, okay, I'll do it downtown, but there's something wrong on the inside. You just don't feel right. It's just that's not the place. That's not the time. All right. Maybe it's a good deal, but you've got the wrong business partner, and so there's just a sensing and an urging on the inside that something is not right. Something is not okay. Amen. You see, you've got to learn, and we have to learn that we live our life not just with our mind. Now, aren't you glad we have a mind? Aren't you glad we can use it for God's glory? We can walk in wisdom. But there are decisions that God will bring across your path that will not come through your mind, but they will come through the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. Amen? So the New Testament church was led and directed by the Holy Spirit. Number two, they were also equipped by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole place where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat each upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, as an incredible as an experience that is, and this is the first of many of five different instances in the New Testament where we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of other tongues. And as sometimes people say, well, yeehaw, woohoo, that'll be a lot of fun. Let me get that experience. That experience was for what happened after that. And then they left the upper room and they went into Jerusalem. And they began to be salt and light. They began to lay hands on the sick. Peter stood up and preached. This same Peter, who just a few chapters before in the Gospels had publicly cursed Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? All right. Even if so, if you made that big of a mistake one time, guess what? God will anoint you and He will equip you and He can turn your failure into success. And so God used him and the church, and they were commissioned and equipped to do what they had to do what God had called them to do. And friend, let me tell you, what God has asked you to do, your family to do, and what God has asked this church to do, it will not just come through natural wisdom. It will not just come through hard work, but it will come through supernatural equipping by the Holy Spirit. Power from on high that will enable you and I to do things that we can't do in our natural strength. Amen? Number three, another thing that the New Testament church had and flowed with the Holy Spirit is they were commissioned by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 13, verse 1, it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now look at verse 2. Acts 13 and verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now, what was that? It means that they had taken time to seek the Lord. They had taken time to minister and worship the Lord. It doesn't say that there was really any reason that they were doing this. All right? It was more than likely it was a part of their lifestyle. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. Does the Holy Spirit have a voice? He does, doesn't he? Because as they were looking to Jesus, as they were magnifying Jesus, the Holy Spirit said. All right? That's what's been happening in the last couple of weeks. All right? As we've been worshiping, as we've been looking to the Lord, God begins to say and to do things. Amen? And what God does in a corporate setting in a church, He will do in your own home. Amen? I can't tell you how many times I enjoy listening to sermons, to tapes, to preaching, and to worship in my car, all right? And just kind of make it a part of my lifestyle. And I can't tell you how many times where just kind of as I was worshiping the Lord, as I was following the Lord, all right? there was a supernatural encounter. There was a supernatural experience. I remember exactly where I was driving in Randburg in South Africa, where God altered and changed my life. Amen? Driving in an Isuzu 280 KB diesel truck. Just minding my own business, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, I had to get home real quick, close the bedroom door, and the Holy Spirit continued to say, amen? But as they ministered to the Lord, as they looked to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, and what did He say? He said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there, they sailed to Cyprus. Amen? And so there will be times where the Holy Spirit will say, where He will commission people for certain works and certain things that they are to do. All right? And we've got missionaries that have been sent from this church with by the Holy Spirit and with our money. Amen? All right? Pastor William's niece, Wilma Cantamoya, has been out for a number of months. She's back. She'll be in the second service. Basil and Karin are doing great in Kosovo. Pastor Ken sent me a text from Eastern Province last week of what God is doing there. He's on his way to Southern Province now, commissioned by the Holy Ghost. Commissioned, sent forth. Amen? And so, again, this is not just something that we think, well, I think I'd like to do this. But it is by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? Some of you may have heard the story, but August. But last year we did a pastor's conference in Kitwe. Had a wonderful time. Pastor Moses Sono was with us, Jim Andrews. But as Pastor Ken Bonda was going up there, and he found himself that somebody directed him to an area where there were all these rural pastors, and they'd come from this farming community. And as he would, you know, he was just going to tell them about the conference and pass out brochures, that which seemed kind of natural to do. All right, and he had done it, you know, helped doing pastors' conference. But when he went there and he stood before them, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he could barely speak to them. He just began to weep and weep and weep for these pastors. What was happening? The Holy Spirit. God had not even warned him, but the Holy Spirit came upon him, and God began to stir him for the work that God had called him to do. All right? And that was to get back in to the villages and the rural parts of our nation. And now God has blessed that ministry immensely. 9 crusades just this year. All right? Now, what was that? It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. All right? And as the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the Holy Spirit will lead and will guide your life. Amen. Thank God. Again, thank God for our mind. But Jeremiah tells us, in Jeremiah 10:23, it says, it is not in a man for him to direct his own steps. Amen? Now, how many of you know you don't need the Holy Spirit to come upon you to pay Zesco? You don't need the Holy Spirit to come upon you to go to church on Sunday. You just do it. Amen? But there are times in life where you will have this. But it is as we are looking to the Lord. It is as we are worshiping the Lord and giving Him attention, we can expect the Holy Spirit to guide our life, to commission our life, to equip our life. Amen? Now, all of these things that were done supernaturally. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. All right, what is wisdom? All right, Proverbs. And I encourage everyone in this church, my wife and I are doing this more this year, but read a proverb a day. All right, if it's the 29th, read Proverb 29. If it's the 2nd, read Proverbs chapter 2, the 2nd chapter. All right, and wisdom is godly common sense. All right? Godly common sense, that things that you may learn the hard way, but God wants you to learn the easy way. All right? And so we can walk in wisdom, and we can allow wisdom to govern our life. But it says that God asks that we would be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Now, see, God wants to fill you with the knowledge of His will, yes, with wisdom, and don't discount that and pursue it, make it the principal thing. But also there is understanding that you will have by the very Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will show us things to come. All right? He will warn us. I remember when we were at Rhema, Brother Hagin, I think it was in the 70s, and that there was an economic change in around the world and in America. And God had shown him before. He said, there's an economic downturn coming, and you need to cut the fat. All right? You need to go through and find out if there's things that are not being efficient, and so they cut their expenses. And so when the economic downturn came, they just sailed right through a recession. Now, they weren't saying that in the Wall Street Journal. They weren't saying it. It wasn't from the great economists, all right? But it was by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And God will show you things to come. So when we get together, we can expect the Holy Spirit to minister in these ways. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because I know and I believe that going to church should not just be sing a couple songs, hear a nice speech, see a couple friends that you know, and go home. And you feel like somehow you've done your religious spiritual duty. Like, now I can get God off of my back. Or because I go to church, now He is obligated to answer my prayers. Or I impress those people around me because I'm a religious person. All right. You know that the world we live in, they are becoming less and less impressed with religious stuff. All right. We're becoming more and more a postmodern world. All right. And so church attendance is not going to be as fancy and as impressive as it used to be. All right. But what is going to impress the world is when what you believe changes your life. When the Holy Spirit enters into your life and your family, your finances, how you conduct your life, and they can see that there's a difference in your life. Amen? That's what the world will notice. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. How many of you realize that it's saying that the Holy Spirit moves in different ways? Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit or for the benefit of all. All right? So when the Holy Spirit manifests Himself, notice it is for the benefit of people. It is for the profit and to help other people. And it goes on to list the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Now, here we have, this is in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 14, after Paul shares on the love of God, it says that we must earnestly desire and seek the best gift. All right? To earnestly desire and to seek the best gift. Now, how many of you know, well what's the best gift? All right? The best gift is what is most needful at that time. All right? If you are facing a decision, all right? There's a fork in the road and you don't know it. This looks good and this kind of looks good, but you're seeking the Lord. How many of you know that for you, the best gift would not be the gift of healing? I don't need it at that time. What would be terrific would be a word of knowledge. That is supernatural knowledge about something that you don't know. Amen? Supernaturally, you could know this is going to happen. this person is going to do this. All right? You would know by the Spirit something that you don't know. Amen. But you know what? If there is an affliction in your body and you can't get out of bed, how many of you know a word of knowledge is not what you need? You need healing. You need the working of miracles. And so we desire, God, move in a way that will bless people. Amen? Now, sometimes in our day and age, unfortunately, and what we've sometimes turned this into is when we desire the best gift, sometimes it's the gift that would be most impressive to other people. That which would make other people stand up and go, "Whoa, wow, you're spiritual." Amen? Do you know that there are times where God will give you a word of knowledge for someone? God will give you something supernatural to say to someone. And you don't, and if they might not be a believer, or they might not be, haven't been around Pentecostal charismatic circles, and the way that God wants you to deliver it is not necessarily to go up to them and say, "Oh, yea, for the Lord would say." It might just be, "Hey, you know what? I just have a sense that I need to tell you something." And you tell them, and boom, it is supernatural, the gift of the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. They might not go, "Whoo," but the answer came. Amen? You see, when God moves by His Spirit, it is not about glorifying man, but glorifying Jesus. And helping the lives of people. Amen? So it is not to bring attention to us or to whatever's going on, but it is to bless the individual. Verse 11 in that same text, 1 Corinthians 12:11. "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." Say, according to His will. All right? Or as the Spirit wills. All right? So we just don't turn on the Holy Spirit with a remote control like you turn on your TV. All right? We listen to Him, we flow with Him, and we realize it is as He wills. All right? And God uses people in different ways. All right? God uses different people as they yield to Him. All right? Now, there are different... When God gets us together, all right, there are things that are... There are different reasons why He wants that to happen. All right? Turn with me to 1 Kings 19. All right? 1 Kings chapter 19. And what we're talking about today is I want us to attune our heart with what God wants for our life, for our church, and for how He wants to move among us. 1 Kings 19. Now, God had just given Elijah victory on Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal were killed. God answered by fire. But Jezebel found out about it. She was not happy, and so she wanted to kill Elijah. All right? And so he is running from his life. All right? God is taking care of him, feeding him. All right? He had one meal that lasted for 40 days. And it sustained him. All right? And in verse 9, 1 Kings 19, verse 9, it says, "And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel, and who have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left.'" Have you ever felt alone? "God, I'm the only one. And they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rock into pieces." Everybody say, "Wow." "But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake." I've never been in an earthquake. My brother has been. He said, and he just watched as the street just rippled before him. All right? I would be okay if I made it to heaven without going through an earthquake. How about you? All right? But, that's amazing. And so here, something moves and the very earth begins to shake. All right? But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. Hey? Fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Now, here's the thing. Were there times in the Bible when the Lord was in the fire? Just the chapter before, the Lord was in the fire. Acts chapter 2, the Lord was in the fire. So the Lord can be in the fire if he wants to be. But not this time. All right? And after the fire, a still, small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here?" All right, so what was it? God was in something that was not spectacular. The earthquake, the mountain getting broken up, fire. And friend, listen to me. If you are looking for the spectacular, you will miss the supernatural. Listen again. If you are looking only for the spectacular, you will miss the supernatural. And there may be times where we come together and we worship the Lord. And God teaches us and instructs us by His Word for our life. And guess what? In a sense, if that's all that happens, how many of you know that's supernatural? We didn't know something before we came. God reminded us. God imparted something to us by His Word. Amen. Hallelujah. But here's the other thing, friend. If as a believer, you're hungering and looking for that which is wild and crazy, there are other voices out there in the world. All right? And there are people that will go to all measures and miss God and don't understand how God is leading. All right? Now, the thing about the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit, it is for the profit of all. Amen? It is to bless, it is to minister, it is to lift people. That is His purpose. All right? The Holy Spirit was not given to the church for entertainment, to be entertained. Now, I have no problem with entertainment. All right? Saw a great movie last weekend. My son and I went and watched the rugby yesterday. All right? If I wasn't at church today, I'd probably be there watching the rugby again. All right? Entertainment has, to relax and to enjoy friends. There's no problem with being entertained. All right? But when we come together as a church, we've got to be able to distinguish between the Holy Spirit lifting and profiting and helping people and just church entertainment. Amen. You know, people, you might want to, you turn on Christian TV and you go, "Ooh, wow, that, wow, man, I'm impressed. Wow, I'm being entertained by all the bells and whistles in this." Mm-mm. Holy Spirit was not given for entertainment. If you want to be entertained, go buy a PlayStation 3. Go get a Blu-ray player and get entertained. But the Holy Spirit is for the profit and the benefit of people and for God's glory. Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, there was a time, and he was the king of Judah, and there was a time where a foreign country came in and stole some things from the temple, all right? And God had given very specific instructions about everything in the temple, right? About how it should be made and overlaid with this, and it should be that thickness and all these different things. And so they stole some things that were gold. And Rehoboam replaced that which was gold with bronze. How many of you know bronze is not gold? But from a distance, you may think it is. It's shiny. It's yellow. It's metal. But it's not gold. It's not pure. It's not what God wants. And unfortunately, I think it is possible that if we're not careful, we will allow, instead of having what God wants in our services, that we substitute it for bronze, entertainment, just having fun. Amen? Is it lifting? Is it magnifying the Lord Jesus? When I was at the rugby yesterday, it was a real tight game. Zambia was playing. And right at the end, this guy got the ball. He's gone. He scores on the post. He flied like Brian Habana. And I tell you, the place went crazy. Whoa! But it was okay. I cheered myself. Why? Because we're being entertained. We're just having fun. When your team won or lost in the World Cup, you did something about it, right? But here's the thing. When God moves by His Spirit in church and people are getting blessed, that's not the time to go, "Woo, yeah, you, wow, good job, God," you know? No. It's to reverence the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I want to deal with some practical things here, all right? That in our worship, all right, when we are worshiping God, now, we've got a great worship team. God's blessed us over many, many years. We've had super, super people that have led worship here. And thank God for their lives. And I know from Pastor Newberry and myself, you know, if you're going to lead worship, you need to sing on key. That is, if it's a note is an A, we don't want an A sharp. If it says A, make it an A. All right? And so, because it can be distracting. How many of you have ever gone to worship service and it's more painful than it is... you're trying to worship God, but your eardrum is about to burst, all right? And so we want to take care of our equipment, all that kind of stuff. But you and I, we've been to concerts, right? We've been to where people are playing music and it's like, well, that's nice. Good job. I enjoyed that. But see, worship is not for our enjoyment. Worship is to magnify God. Amen. And so, you know, at Miracle Life, we have different worship leaders and different songs and different things. And so you may come to church and you're like, "Oh, I don't like that worship leader." Well, it's not about you enjoying the worship leader. It's about them leading you into worship. We don't have worship drivers. We don't have worship kickers. They're leaders. They're just going to get up and love the Lord with a group of people, and we follow them into worship. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, in our worship, let's make it about God. As the Holy Spirit moves, as He does things in our midst, let's honor Him. The Holy Spirit doesn't need a cheer. Praise the Lord. Oh, good job, Holy Spirit. No. The Bible says, with the fruit of our lips, give Him thanks. Amen? And as the Holy Spirit does things in our midst, let's honor Him. Let's reverence Him. Amen? Because what He will do is He will continue to move. He will continue to flow in our midst as we honor Him. Hallelujah. So church and the Holy Spirit, it's not a soccer match. It's not a rugby match. And I enjoy both. But you've got to know the difference. Amen? It's not a wedding rehearsal. It's not a kitchen party. Praise God for kitchen parties. Amen. Hope you get lots of stuff at your kitchen parties, ladies. All right? But it's to honor Him. It's to let Him have His way. That Jesus is magnified. It is not man-centered. It is not for man to be glorified or man to be promoted. But that lives are touched and helped, and then the praise and the honor and the glory goes back to God. Amen? And so we need to let Him do His part. Now, what can we do? What can you and I do as we flow with the Holy Spirit? Number one, honor the Holy Spirit. Recognize the Holy Spirit. I love the title. It's an old, old book, but the title of Benny Hinn's book, "Good Morning, Holy Spirit." What that means is when I'm up in the morning, it's not just, okay, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? What are we going to do? All these things that I'm going to do. But no, it's like, "Holy Spirit, I honor you. I recognize you. You're here. You're working with me. What is it that you want? We follow Him. We yield to Him, just like we saw the New Testament church do. That we are dependent on Him. Amen? We don't ignore Him. Number two, hook up your heart with what's going on. Hook up your heart with what the Holy Spirit is doing. Now, how do we do that in a church setting? One thing that is something that you can think about is that when you come to church, don't come thinking, well, what am I going to get today? You know, I hope they tell me something I don't know. But bring a supply of the Spirit. I know that there are people that are going to need to hear from the Lord today. And so during worship, I want to look to the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want to allow Him to move in my heart and in my church. I want to bring something. When the Word of God is being preached, I'm not like this. Now, you might not look like that on the outside, but there are people on the inside. Okay, what do you got now? All right. Okay, that's good. Yeah, all right. It was kind of a little bit boring, not too funny. He could have used this verse and that verse. No, that's not bringing a supply of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Talk to me. I'm not looking to Pastor Walker. I'm not looking to Pastor Wim. I'm not looking to a guest preacher. I am looking to God to speak to my life. Friend, I cannot tell you how many times that either I'm getting ready for a sermon or I'm delivering a sermon and the Holy Spirit just says, what is that? He knows there's a hungry heart. He knows somebody needs something. Pastor William and I were talking just this last week. Had a service. And Pastor William said, I just don't know. I just feel like I don't have what it takes to do this. And we talked and prayed. And God just moved in that situation. People came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the testimonies are mind-boggling. Why? Because we knew that we were dependent upon the Holy Spirit. All right. Bring something to the service. All right. Make it a priority. Make it important. All right. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I love my pastor. Say it louder. I love my pastor. All right. Make God's deal an importance and a priority to you. Now, how many of you, Were there one or two World Cup games that, I mean, you had to watch them? Hey, there was that one and you had circled it and so you planned your whole day. You planned, and there were a couple, there were more than a couple for me. All right. There were a lot for me. And so, I mean, I planned the food and I planned everything because at that time, in fact, before it starts, I'm ready. I've got my food, I've got my potato crisps, I've got, okay, ready, all right? Right? Because I don't want to miss anything, all right? Because especially if Portugal's playing North Korea, I mean, a goal could come at any time, right? God bless you if you're from North Korea. We love you, amen? But I'm hungry. I want to watch this, all right? Now, how many of you during the World Cup, there were other games where it was like, whatever. So you come in 30, 40 minutes, you check it, whatever, nil-nil. And so you're just not interested. You're not going to be there on time. You're not eager. You're not ready. Amen? Friend, at church, don't come a half hour late. Oh, it's just Pastor Walker, that American Mzungu. You know, he's the Mzungu time. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. My wife will tell you, I'm late to a lot of stuff. Not important stuff. Not stuff that matters. And the fact that we would put more importance on a World Cup game, we will not be late. I remember the first game of the World Cup, Mexico, South Africa. All right. I was rushing home because I wanted to get and watch this, you know. There was a standstill around town. companies. There was an exodus. People were leaving. Why? And leaving early. An hour before the game, there was a traffic jam at 14:30 in the afternoon. Why? Because it is important. People put value on that. And friend, you know what? I understand the cat could have died. Maybe the baby threw up. And I understand there are times where we're late. I understand that. But if you are 15 minutes late to church every Sunday, it is not important to you. It's not important to you. It's not. And I am asking you, as God wants to do more in our midst, not less. He wants to do more. Come early. Be ready. Be charged up. Do some praying at home before you get here. Amen? God, I'm telling you what, pray in tongues on the way to church. Amen? I'm stirring myself up. And so when that band goes, boom, it's not a matter of them winding you up. Huh? Soon as that first key is played, as soon as they strum that guitar, you are up. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I tell you, I love you. I am ready. You are working in my life. You are working in my church. You are working in my nation. God, you are going to touch lives today. Amen. Hallelujah. What if the worship team did what 3/4 of you did? 15 minutes late, just kind of walk up here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Check, make check. 1, 2, 1, 2. No, it means they're not taking it serious. Amen? See, we need to honor, we need to reverence the Holy Spirit with what He's doing. Amen? Now, I know some of you may be conditioned to come to church late because you know they're going to sing for 2.5 hours. And you just can't handle it. Well, I couldn't either. I'd come late myself, all right? But you know we're not gonna waste time. But when it's time, it's time. God is moving. God is doing things. Amen? Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, if the shoe fits, wear it. Amen. So make it a priority. Make it important to you. Amen. Ready to serve, ready to love, ready to be a part of what God is doing. Amen. Not a spectator, not just looking and watching. All right. Now, I know the way churches are designed, we've got pews and chairs and people are looking up front at whoever's doing whatever's happening up front. And so it's a lot like a football match. You're watching. But church is not watching. It's participation. It's God working with each and every one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, another thing is we see from Acts chapter 2, it says that they were in one place and they were with one accord. That is that they had a purpose, a singular purpose of when they got there. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem for the power. Wait for the Holy Spirit. He's going to come upon you. All right. And so they were there. They were together, but they had one heart. They had one mind. Amen. And so when we come to church, our mindset should be, God, Lord, work in my heart. Make me a blessing. Father, what can I do to add value and to touch the lives of people? Some of you know the testimony of a family in our church. And we were at the old building on a Wednesday night. Bible study. And they were there. They were desperate. I didn't know what was going on. But somebody in the church had gotten paid. And they came to church with over $1 million kwacha in notes. All right. And they just felt compelled by God to go give that to that person. All right. And God used that to turn the family around. It's a miracle what God has done. Why? Because someone came sensitive to the Holy Spirit in a church service. Amen? One accord. What does God want to do? All right? Now, if you can kind of picture, those of us, we've all ridden a bicycle. But you know, on the outside of a bike is a tire, all right? And in the middle is the hub, and they're all the spokes that go towards the middle. And when we talk about Christian unity, sometimes what we try to do is we try to be like each other. You know, well, I'll wear a suit like the pastor, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. And we try to kind of accommodate and make ourselves, and so we're kind of chasing each other around the outside of that tire. All right? But the greatest way we can have Christian unity is not to try to be like each other, but try to be like Jesus, who's at the center. And the closer you get to Jesus, and the closer I get to Jesus, what happens? We get closer to each other. Amen. So let's keep taking steps towards the master, towards our hero. And what happens? We realize we're going to get along a lot better. We're going to have unity and a divine purpose because our eyes are on him. Amen. Well, I don't like Pastor's new purple shirt. I don't like the tie. But no, it's about being like Jesus. And what does he want in this church? And then lastly, in New Testament worship and in looking to the Holy Spirit is to be wholehearted. Wholehearted. That's opposed to being half-hearted. Three-quarters hearted. Another way to say it is when you're there, be all there. With focus. Amen? And to say, you know, Lord, I'm giving this my heart. And I know we all have different personalities. And some of you are more naturally crazy and demonstrative. And some of you are more naturally reserved and quiet. And you know what? That's okay. All right? And the way God has made you is fine. But you know what? No matter if you're more reserved or not, when you get excited, something happens. All right? And to be able, you know, when we're singing something, you know, how great is our God? How great is our God? If your whole heart is into that, there is no way you're going to be able to sing that. How great is our God? The windows are kind of dirty. And they should have done this. And what are those blue lights? How great is our God? I thought we sang this last week. How great is our God? That's not wholehearted. That's not wholehearted. And so whether that means you got tears streaming down your face and you're ready to rip the ceiling off, how great is our God? Or it just means, how great is our God? Something is happening in your heart that affects your body. It affects your emotions. Amen? Can we have a practice session? All right, team, worship team, come on up. You see, please hear my heart. This is not about, quote, getting it right. All right? The right way. No, it's about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life and in my life. And we need to learn to look to him, to reverence him, to honor him, and to let him have his way. Not just, see, Sunday church is this is where we come together, but that it spills out and it floods out into our lives. And that excess and that blessing, we bring it back into a church setting like this. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. Now, before we sing, I want us just to practice this. You know, David said, I will sing a new song to the Lord. Just means new, means something that you don't know yet, all right? And the songs that God gave David to pen in the Psalms were things that came up out of his own heart, out of his own life experience. The Bible says, out of the fruit of our lips, we give him praise. And right now, you may be a good singer or not a good singer, but I want us just to lift up a new song to the Lord, to thank him for who he is, and for what he's done in your own life. Now, something that helps with this is just close your eyes, because then you don't have to worry about who's looking. You don't know if they are or not. It makes you less self-conscious. Amen? And let's just lift up our voice to God right now, and let's praise him. The Bible says praise Him with what we know. Amen. Let's just lift up our hearts to Him right now. Father, we love You. Oh, we praise You. Father, thank You for Your mercy that endures forever. Father, thank You that You never give up on us. Oh, You never grow weary or tired. Oh, in Jesus, I lift up Your name. I thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your patience. Oh, we thank You, Father. Oh, we thank You, Father. We bless You today. Oh, just let that come up out of your heart. Just let that come up out of your heart. Oh, Father, we love You. We praise You and we magnify You. We give You thanks and we give You glory. Oh, for You are good. Father, thank You for forgiveness. Thank You for life. Thank You for Your power and Your grace. Father, I thank You that You're molding me and You're shaping me. Oh, You who began a good work in me, You're completing it. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Now let's just flow with the choir, the leaders right now. Let's sing a song together. Amen. Let's just sing a song together. And let's lift up Jesus in this place right now. Thank You, Father.
Thank You for the cross, Lord. Thank You for the price You paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love You came and gave amazing.
It's a sign of thankfulness. Amen? And you say, well, Pastor, they didn't do that in my church. Respectfully, you're not in your church. You're here. Amen? And so as we lift up and say, worthy is the Lamb, this is a song that the angels are singing right now in heaven. Lift up your heart, but lift up your hands to the God who has saved you. Lift up your hands to the God who is worthy to take the scroll and to read it, who is worthy to die in our place, who is worthy of our thanks and our worship today. Let's just thank Him right now. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Said in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, I pray in the Spirit and I pray with the understanding. I sing in the Spirit and I sing with the understanding. Now, these last couple songs, we've been singing with the understanding. That means we knew the words we were talking about. But there is a singing in the Spirit, a singing in other tongues. And the Bible says when we do, we give thanks well. Our spirit prays and our spirit give thanks. And right now, let's just sing to the Lord in other tongues. Oh, in a language that you don't know. A heavenly language. And you say, Pastor, I'm not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, this would be a real good time to be. Just go ahead and step over into other tongues right now. And lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, kanamashen damasen damos oramamre. Oramamre. So. Great things about worship is that it locates your spirit. The Bible says we worship Him in spirit. In spirit. In spirit. That's where God talks to you.